Today we're going to talk about a little bit about Lashon Hara, but not the basic things that you already know, things that are a little bit different, and kind of to cover the whole topic. But mainly, you know, a lot of people talk about Lashon Hara many times, and you know how bad it is, and all the rest of the things that most people know. But Lashon Hara, first of all, has a very big connection to Purim. That's why I chose to talk about Lashon Hara today, because we're going to see a very great connection to Purim with it. But to tell me about Lashon Hara, that it's bad and all this, that you already know. I'm sure you've already been told many times how bad Lashon Hara is. Lashon Hara is not only necessarily talking bad about somebody, is gossiping, is what's called Lotzi Shem Ra, talking, saying, giving a bad name to somebody for something that they did. Lashon Hara has many different forms how one can say Lashon Hara. You can slander a person, you can lie to a person, even there's many different ways. The fact that we know that Lashon Hara is bad, that you already know about it. But mainly what I want to talk about is, first of all, what does it really do? And mainly how you fix it. And more than that, a level of Lashon Hara that we don't realize that actually hurts us. And this is the main thing what I want to talk about. Because to talk bad about somebody, you know, you don't need to be a saint to understand that it's not nice to talk about somebody. Not to say, even to, not to mention to Chas v'Shalom, Lotzi Shem Ra, to give somebody a bad reputation for something that, whether they did it or not, it doesn't matter. But Lashon Hara has many different points to it, and that's why it's considered one of the worst sins in our list. We know that one of the worst sins in our history is Lashon Hara. We see it in the Chet HaMeraglim with the spies, that they went and said Lashon Hara about the land. Lashon Hara is not necessarily about a person, it can be about many different things. So we see that one of the worst sins that we had in our history was the sin of the spies, Chet HaMeraglim, when they said Lashon Hara about the land, they said Lashon Hara about Hashem, they said a lot of bad things about also Kadosh Baruch Hu and also the land itself. But the first one who ever said Lashon Hara was the snake. As usual, everything originates in the first week. And a lot of people question Bechlal if Lashon Hara is from the Torah. A lot of people tell me, where does it say in the Torah that you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara? Okay, I understand, lying. But Lashon Hara, where does it say it? So the source in the Torah is in the book of Vayikra, in Parashat Kedoshim. It says, Lo tilech achil be'amecha. This is where we get the source for Lashon Hara in the Torah. And the beautiful hint here is that we see that it's in the Parsha of Kedoshim. We're going to read it soon, which already tells you, the whole Parsha is telling us, Kedoshim to you, you should be holy. So we already see a hint that one wants to be holy, then you start with your mouth. But the first Lashon Hara that was ever said was done by the snake, by the Nachash in Gan Eden, and he said Lashon Hara about Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's, as usual, where it all starts. All the problems start in the first week of creation. And the snake, which is the ultimate klipa, he starts everything. And he started by convincing Chava to eat from the tree of knowledge by saying Lashon Hara about the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's where it all started. And we know that once the Nachash did the sin, he made Chava and Adam sin, and each one of them got 10 curses. Adam got 10 curses, Chava got 10 curses, and also the snake got 10 curses. And the first thing that happened right after the sin is that Adam and Chava got dressed in bodies. It says, Vayalbishem kutnot or. So the pshat here, the simple explanation, is that before that they were naked. They didn't have even any form of sin. So even being naked wasn't considered for them a sin, because they didn't have any lust or any desire to do anything but to serve Hashem. But once they went down in their level, Hashem had to dress them in bodies. And these are kutnot or. Because before the sin, Adam and Chava were just souls. And once they were dressed into bodies, the body that they got was the same material what we have in our nails. It's called keratin. And their entire body was covered with that. They didn't have bodies like we had. And once they sinned, they went down from their level, and the dirt of the nachash, that's what dressed them. This is what's called zohamat ha-nachash, the impurity of the snake. And when Hashem dressed them with bodies, was with this cover of the snake. The Zohar called it mashcha dechivya, the garment of the snake, the skin of the snake. And if you look now at a snake, the skin of a snake, people think that snakes are like slimy and soft, but they're actually very firm, and they're actually not slimy at all. They're actually very smooth. And the scales is made out of a material called keratin, which is the same material that we have in our nails. In the beginning, Adam and Chava, that's the body that they got. And then later on, it transformed and it became the body how we see it. This is one of the reasons why when we say Avdalah on Motzei Shabbat, and we say, first we say a blessing on the wine, then we say a blessing on the something that we smell, and then we say Borei Morei Ha'esh, we're blessed about the fire. And when we do that, we look in our nails. The reason why we say Borei Morei Ha'esh is because fire was discovered in Motzei Shabbat. There's one opinion says that Adam HaRishon, he got his curses on Motzei Shabbat. And he got so upset that he took a rock and he threw it. It's called Tzur HaChalamish. And the rock hit another rock and it made a spark and started the fire. This is one opinion. But fire was given and discovered on Motzei Shabbat. That's one of the reasons why we say Borei Morei Ha'esh on Motzei Shabbat. But the reason why we look in our nails is because we still have type this light that Adam HaRishon and Chava saw in Gan Eden, but in a very concealed way, and it's still hidden in our nails. And when we look at it, we get some type of a heara from that time, from that light that was in Gan Eden. But now it's covered because our body is covered with this mashcha dechivya, the skin of the snake. Now it's not a skin of a snake like you would imagine, you know, people walking with shoes that have a skin of a snake. That's what we're not what we're talking about. Rather, it's talking about a garment that is impure, an impure garment. Because the snake represents impurity, the snake represents the yetzer hara, the evil inclination. So this dress that we got, this garment that we got of impurity, this is the garment of the nachash, this is the leather of the nachash, of the snake. And this is what we're carrying around us. Now we know, based on Kabbalah, that our soul is dressed in garments, because our soul cannot interact with this world. The soul is very, very holy. I'm talking about the level of neshama. We spoke about it many times, that our soul has a few levels, has five levels. The highest level is called Yechida. Lower level from that is called Chaya. Last week we talked about the Chaya, that is the Tzelem, that it's the aura, the Or Makif, the surrounding light of the neshama. But then the three lower levels that are in the body is neshama, ruach, and nefesh. So the neshama, which is the highest level of all three, it's so holy it can't really interact with this world. So in order to interact in this world, it needs garments. And it has three major garments: thought, speech, and action. And in these garments, each one has many different levels in it. But in general, we have these three garments: thought, speech, and action. And every thought that we have, every action that we do, and every speech that comes out of our mouth is controlled by these garments. And these garments, they get their energy, their sustenance from two chambers in Shemayim. The Baal Shem Tov explains that we have chambers of impurity and chambers of purity. And every thought or speech or action that comes that is impure, then we know that it was drawn down from a chamber of impurity. Why did it come down? That's a whole different story right now. But if I have a good thought, or if I say something good, or if I do a good action, then we know that the power, the energy that came down to this garment came from a chamber of purity. To understand what it means, these two chambers, imagine you go to a hospital, you see a person lying in his bed and he has IV stuck in his hands. He has one IV on the right side, one IV from the left side. And in the IV has minerals and water or whatever they give them. So whatever's in the IV, that's what's going to end up coming into the body. They want to give medicine, so they put it in the IV. If chas v'shalom a person will put poison in the IV, in the bag, then the poison will penetrate into the body. So the same way that there are two chambers in Shamayim, chambers of purity, that I can pull down what's called the hamshacha, I can pull down an energy from this chamber of purity into my body, into my soul. Mainly it comes to the garments. And of course I can pull it down from a chamber of impurity. Now why would I get thoughts or actions or speech coming from impurity? Because my soul is so holy that the other side of holiness, what's called sitra acha, the other side of holiness, it needs to ride on something in order to get life. It's like a tick. It's like a parasite. This klipa, this negative energy, needs to get power, what's called chayut, from me. Because I'm a generator of energy. If I do a mitzvah, I do a good deed, whether it's with thought, whether it's with my speech, whether it's with my action, then I'm creating this godly energy. This is called chayut elokit, this godly energy. Now I'm this generator of this godly power, constantly. Now if I wake up in the morning and I do a mitzvah, I start and I pray, and then I do physical mitzvahs, I do mitzvahs with my thoughts, anything that I do, I'm generating chayut elokit, godly power, and my body is radiating this power. Now the other side of holiness, the sitra acha, it needs some type of life force. And where would it get it? It can only get it from me. Me, I'm saying any person that is producing this godly force. If you want to compare it to something in this world, you can literally compare it to a tick. A tick gets its life force by riding on an animal and sucking its blood. And by that it's getting its chayut, its life. And if you take the tick off, most likely after a certain while it will die. It will look for another thing. And it has to get its life force from something else. This is klipa. This is this godly, this is this negative energy that it needs its sustenance. It only gets it from holiness, from kedusha. Because anything that is alive has to get its power from kedusha, from holiness. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of life. Anything that is alive has to get its life force from kedusha. And everything that is the opposite of that is called mavet, it's called death. So anything that doesn't have kedusha, doesn't have life force from holiness, it's considered dead. So the other side of holiness, even though Hashem created it, Hashem did create the klipa, it says zelu matzeh bara Elokim, Hashem created both sides. So the klipa has to get chayut, life, from somewhere. And where does it get it? It gets it from me. So when I am producing kedusha, I'm producing energy, I'm producing holy powers by doing mitzvot, then this other side of holiness, it comes to ride on me and to suck this kedusha from me. That's why we have 248 positive mitzvot, that's how I'm producing this holy energy. And then I have 365 negative mitzvot, precepts, that's how I'm guarding my kedusha from being taken away. The Arizal calls it yenika lachitzoniim. If I'm opening one type of a gap, that I'm giving the chitzoni, the outer side of holiness, the ability to suck, yenika is to suck. Then it can suck dusha out of me. But if I'm completely sealed, then they can't suck anything. My kedusha is totally contained in my body, in my soul, and nothing else can have achiza. Achiza means to grab it. Once it has achiza, once this klipa has achiza on me, then it can suck the energy out of me. That's how it lives. That's where all these negative thoughts and speech and actions, they come from. Why? Because in these chambers of impurity is the what's called the main dwelling place of the klipa. Now it needs to get power somehow. So it will trickle into my neshama all these bad thoughts or bad speech or bad action. Why? To make me fail and open one of my gates. That's how it gets achiza on my kedusha. That's why if I have, you know, what's called machshava zara, a thought that it's not my thought, it's an impure thought. You know, I'm living my life, everything is good, suddenly I get this bad thought. You know, a bad thought can be, oh, let's steal this thing, or let me just now lie here, or let me do this sin, or you get this idea. Now, the first second or two of the thought, it's not even your thought. It's not you. A lot of people say, oh, I'm probably in such a high level because constantly I'm having bad thoughts. It has nothing to do with you. This bad thought is being injected into the garment of thought, and you have now the ability to block the thought and say, no, I don't want to. I don't want to steal this. I don't want to lie. I don't want to do this. Or you have the option of feeding this thought. Now, if you start feeding the thought, then you're taking it from the chamber of impurity and you're dressing it to your garment of thought. So a person can now, you know, this thought can be anything. I'm just giving an example of lying or stealing. Any impure thought that you have that opposes Kedusha, you know it's coming from a chamber of impurity. And your avodah, your work is to oppose it. Right away to stop it. This is what's called itkafia. We talked about it previous class. That I have to subdue this thought. And if I feed it, that's when I start getting it into my system. And then I start developing the thought. And once I'm already, it's in my possession, and I'm developing the thought, then it's already my problem. Because it's already penetrated. But if I stop it, then I keep it out. Now this can come also in speech. A person can, you know, something will fall out of their hand, and their first reaction is to say some curse or some bad word. You know, it happens to a lot of people. You know, something hits them, or they get, you know, something happens, the reaction is to say another nice word. The reality is that, you know, a lot of people, the speech is not coming from them. Rather, the klipa wants to make you fail in the level of speaking. Same thing, you can have it in the same level of action. Sometimes you can do a certain action, you didn't really mean it, you don't really want to do it. You do it, and then a second you catch yourself like, why am I doing that? The point is that you want to keep these forces from coming in. And one of the ways that what breaks it in is dafka lashon hara. And the Zohar explains that every action that we do, we create what's called a klipa. I do a certain action, right away, of course I'm talking about a negative action right now. Right away I create this negative energy that is called klipa. If I do obviously a positive action, then I create kedusha. I said a minute before that I'm generating this holy power. But if I did the opposite, then right on the spot I created a negative energy, it's called klipa. Klipa is a peel, a shell that surrounds something. Like if you take an orange has a peel. The peel is not edible, it's bitter and disgusting, but it's covering over the orange. So this is this negative energy. So I do something negative, then I create this klipa. And this klipa hovers over my neshama. And each klipa has a total different power. But the klipa that I create when I talk lashon hara, the Zohar calls it yacharotz. Comes from the word charitz. Charitz is a crack. And, you know, the easiest way to explain what it means by a charitz, imagine now a water dam that holds millions and millions of cubes of water, tons of pounds of weight of water. Sometimes it's unbelievable to see how a concrete wall can hold such pressure. And it doesn't crack, it doesn't break. But if you make one crack in this dam, one drop starts coming out, and all the pressure sits on this crack, and eventually the whole dam breaks, and the power and the weight of the water just breaks it down. So one little charitz, one little opening that I do, then I put all the pressure sitting on this charitz. And we see that this, you know, where do we see the connection with this charitz, with this gap? When the Jews left Mitzrayim, it says, Lo yecharatz kelev leshono. When the Jews left, then the dogs didn't bark. That's what the pshat of it, the simple explanation. Now, it says before that we know that the guarding on Egypt was so strong that one slave could not run away. That's how strong the guarding was. And how did the Egyptians were able to guard them to a point that nobody could run away? They had this idol. If you look in the ancient scripts, there's like a cat that looks a little bit like a dog. That it's like a dog that is like standing up, but it has the face of a cat. It's a mixture between a cat and a dog. These were these idols that they had in Mitzrayim, and there were the guards. And every time somebody would try to run away, they would scream, "Hey, he's running away, he's running away." And these were the dogs that when Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim, that they didn't bark. They're not talking about the chihuahuas and the poodles that they were barking. You know, you walk next to a house that has a dog, the dog starts barking. But that's not what it means that the dogs didn't bark. It means that these idols, these dogs, they were idols, they didn't say anything. They were quiet. That was one of the miracles that Hashem made them quiet. They couldn't talk. That's why millions of people were able to leave Mitzrayim. So going back to the first Lashon Hara, so the snake said Lashon Hara, and he brought this garment of impurity, and this garment of impurity, we still have it. That's why we have the ability to draw these impure thoughts and speech and actions from these chambers of impurity, and we're able to bring it down on us. It all started from the Nachash. Now, the thing is that the problem with Lashon Hara, and I said Lashon Hara can be, you know, gossiping, Lashon Hara can be slandering somebody, Lashon Hara can come in many different ways. The problem in Lashon Hara is that I'm damaging the garment of speech. This is the main problem. Now we know that everything in this world corresponds to the 10 Sefirot. The 10 Sefirot are the 10 spiritual powers that Hashem kivyachol created the world with. And everything manifests down into this world in these 10 Sefirot. We know that in the name of Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, which this is the name that Hashem created the world with, then the 10 Sefirot are in the name of Hashem. Yud corresponds to Chochmah. K, the first Hey, corresponds to Bina. Then the Vav corresponds to the six Midot, to Zeiranpin, and the last Hey corresponds to Malchut. And in Patach Eliyahu in the Zohar, it says that Hashem created the world Bedibur. Hashem created the world Basara Ma'amorot Nivra Olam. With 10 speeches, the world was created. Hashem creates the world with the last Hey, the letter Hey of the Shem of Yudkei Vavkei, which corresponds to the Sfira of Malchut. And that's how Hashem creates the world. It says in the Zohar, Malchut Pe, that the Malchut, the power of creating this world, comes from the Pe. Of course, Hashem doesn't have a mouth. Rather, we know that the mouth has five articulations, Chamesh Motzaot Pe. And these are these five powers that God, that Hashem creates the world with. We see also the gematria, the numerical value of the letter Hey, is 5. Because it goes to 5 different powers, that's how Hashem creates the world. And Hashem creates the world with Dibur. Now Hashem gave me the power that I can also create worlds. And how do I do that? It's when I speak. When I speak Torah, when I say words of Torah, I create worlds. And Hashem gave me my mouth. We read every day in when we pray Nishmat Kol Chai, V'lashon Asher Samta Befino, and the tongue that you put in our mouth, this is what's going to praise you and thank you. The problem with Lashon Hara is that when I, you know, pray all day, or I do mitzvot, or I do a lot of good things, and then Chas V'Shalom I say Lashon Hara, then the malachim, the angels that are created from Lashon Hara, they're taking all my mitzvot and they're going up to Shemaim, and they're saying Lashon Hara about me. And they're saying, look, you know, a minute ago he praised you. Now he took the same tool that he praised you to slander another person. So the malachim saying Lashon Hara about myself with my own Lashon Hara. The main problem with Lashon Hara is that I'm damaging the garment of Levush. This is the problem with Lashon Hara. More than that, that can be fixed, because any blemish that goes on the garment can be fixed. But the main problem with Lashon Hara, physically, and that's why it says that there are few sins that a person enu chelek la'olam haba, doesn't have a place in the world to come. And one of them is Lashon Hara. And why? Because we know in the back of our head we have a bone, and it's called Etzem Aluz, the loose bone. And this is the bone that in the time of resurrection of the dead, Chiyat HaMetim, this is the bone where the body will be resurrected from. And we see that miraculously, that even if Chas V'Shalom, a body is burnt, then that bone doesn't get burnt. We saw 70 years ago, Hashem Erachem in the Holocaust, when they used to burn the bodies, The only thing that didn't burn is those bones. It couldn't burn it. And this is the bone that starts the Tchiyat HaMatim, that's where the body grows from in the resurrection of the dead. The only thing that really damages this bone is Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara has the power to start carving it. Like you take a piece of wood and you carve it, that's what Lashon Hara does. It carves this bone. So to tell you that Lashon Hara is bad, I don't need to tell you, you know that. Yeah, I'm sure you heard it many times. Even if you use your common sense, you know, it's not the right thing to talk bad about somebody, or to give somebody a bad name, or to gossip, all these things. Yeah, common sense, it's not a good thing. The problem is what happens when we do it. Because we all fail in Lashon Hara. It's not an easy thing. You know, we can't close our mouth. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara, you want to say this juicy information, you can't hold yourself. You have to say it. And to really be careful with Lashon Hara is not easy. But at least, okay, so I already made the damage. What do I do now? Now the damage is already there. How do I fix this damage? So the only way to fix the damage of Lashon Hara is not only way. It's a few things. But it all surrounds, the fixing of Lashon Hara is all surrounds on Shabbat. Anyone that Chas V'Shalom fails in Lashon Hara, Shabbat is the only way to fix it. And in Shabbat, entirely to keep it, in general, fixes everything, not only Lashon Hara. But the main part of fixing Lashon Hara is at the time when we eat the Seudot on Shabbat, the meals on Shabbat. And one of the hints that we see is when we eat, we bench, we say Birkat HaMazon, and before we say Birkat HaMazon, in most of the Nusachim, it says, "Medaber al Isaiah Shulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem." Which means that the shulchan, what I'm eating on, the table that I'm eating on, Zei yedaber elai lifnei Hashem. This is the dibur, the speech, that will actually reverse the problem of Lashon Hara. Another way to fix Lashon Hara is particularly in the fourth meal of Melaveh Malka. Before I talked about the Avdalah, when we say Avdalah, many people have the custom that they take the wine of the Avdalah and they put it on their eyes, they put it on their lips. But a lot of people put it on the bone in the back. Because Lashon Hara that scrapes this bone, then the power of the Havdalah and the Melaveh Malka, the fourth meal, that's the power that starts rebuilding the bone. So if Chas V'Shalom I already failed in Lashon Hara, then at least one needs to be smart and say, okay, you know, I'm not a tzaddik. I probably will fail a few more times in my life, but at least let me balance it out. Then the way is to keep Shabbat entirely. Because Shabbat has the remedy to fix all the problems. If a person keeps Shabbat the right way, and it's particular with all the little dinim, all the little laws, that's how you fix all the problems. But mainly the part of fixing Lashon Hara is in the meals and in Seudah Revi'it, in the fourth meal, which a lot of people say, oh, okay, you know, I'll drink a cup of tea. If one would know the power of this Seudah, then they wouldn't miss it even once. And a lot of people say, okay, I'll just do the minimum. You want to make sure that you're doing it the right way. You wash for bread, you eat bread. Bechlal, it's the right way to do it is to have a meal and to eat and say, you know, Divrei Torah, say Torah on the table. There's a custom to say stories on the Baal Shem Tov. The point is that this meal has the power of fixing the blemish of Lashon Hara. So, all that we talked about now is things that we already know about it. We know that Lashon Hara is bad. We know that it's, you know, Chas V'Shalom, you know, what's the Hashlachot, what happens from Lashon Hara, where it comes from. But there's a different level of Lashon Hara that most people either don't know or they just ignore it. And the connection, what I started before by saying, that it comes in the holiday of Purim. Because we see that Haman, we just celebrated Purim last week, Haman said Lashon Hara about the Jews. He went to Ahasuerus and he said Lashon Hara about them. He said, there's one nation, they're different from everybody, they don't want to participate. Anyways, Haman went and said Lashon Hara on the Jews, and as a result from that, started the whole Gzerah, etc. Now, we know that Haman was a descendant of Amalek, and we know that any generation, there's also an Haman. Haman comes in every generation. In most of the generations, it comes, it manifests into an actual body. But even if it doesn't manifest into an actual body, then there's also Haman in the spiritual level, every generation. There's also in every generation a Mordechai and an Esther. But mainly, there's a Haman in every generation. And Haman is a descendant of Amalek, which Amalek always wanted to destroy us. From the second that Amalek came to the picture, he always wanted to come and destroy us. We see that 70 years ago, a descendant of Amalek, Hitler, Yimach Shimo, wanted to destroy us again. He's the direct descendant of Haman, of Amalek. Every time that Haman comes here, he wants to destroy us. First of all, any person that comes and in such an obvious way comes and not only wants to but actually does it, that's in itself a manifestation of the power of Haman and Amalek. Anyone who comes, and we had it in many different generations, but any person that comes, like, why did Hitler Yimach Shimo wanted to kill us? Why? What did we do to him? When you're thinking of it, he had a book. And in this book, he says, Hitler, I'm talking about, Yimach Shimo. He says in this book that he wanted to correct the world. This is one of the character traits of Amalek and the character traits of Haman. Same thing, Haman and Amalek is the same. And one of the character traits of Haman is that he thinks, it's such a klipa that he thinks that he needs to correct the world. And that's exactly what Haman wanted to do, and this is exactly what Hitler and Machshima wanted to do. He, in his distorted way, said, I have to come and correct the world. And Hitler and Machshima said that there's one problem that stops the world from being corrected, and it's this nation, and we have to destroy it. So any person that comes in any generation that says, for whatever reason, that the Jews, the nation has to be destroyed, this is one of the character traits of Amalek. That is a descendant, goes down to Haman. And we see it in many generations. We have, you know, Amalek in our generation. You know, the president of Iran says, I want to destroy the Jewish state. He's saying it out in the open. Hitler, Yimach Shimo, said it also out in the open. Some people don't, but most of the Jew haters, they don't say it. They either try to do it or they manipulate the situation somehow to plan to do it. But some people, they come and say it out in the open. Hitler said out in the open, I'm going to destroy this nation. Same thing with Haman. Haman says, I have to destroy this nation. There's other ways how we know that Hitler, Yimach Shimo, was a direct descendant from Haman. There's different sources and places that point how he is. But Bechlal, the point is of Haman and Amalek, same thing. This is a klipa that wants to destroy our nation. And it comes in many different forms. Now, first it comes in a physical form that it wants to destroy us. Haman wanted to kill us all. So, and many other rulers in history, they came and they said, I want to destroy this nation. Why? They themselves don't even know why. The point is that this klipa is so powerful that it opposes holiness. Anything that has to do with holiness, this klipa of Amalek wants to destroy it. Now, Amalek has the same numerical value of Oref. Oref is the back part of our neck. And we know that what separates our intellect, which is called Mochin, from our Midot, from our attributes, is this little neck. That even if you're looking at it in a physical way, you know, it's much thinner and smaller than the head and much smaller than the body. So we have our intellect, which is called Mochin, and we have our Midot, our attributes, which is in our body. But there's something that separates between both of them. And this is this Tzavar. This is the Gematria of Amalek. And the Klipa of Aman in every generation comes and it wants to destroy us. And it wants to oppose Kedusha. And this Haman in every generation, in the spiritual level, the klipa of Haman, it comes and says Lashon Hara about us. Now, When I said before that most people don't pay attention to it, is because before I said that how when you get a bad thought, it comes from a chamber of impurity. And sometimes you have a bad thought. You know, a bad thought comes into your mind, and the thought is telling you to do this certain sin, or to do something. Or it's just an impure thought. You see something, and you start developing this thought. This is where Haman comes to you, this klipa of Haman, and it starts talking Lashon Hara about you. And what is this Lashon Hara about you? That a person, you know, we're not perfect. So a person comes to a situation and then he does a certain sin. Then this klipa of Haman comes to you and starts telling you, you're such a loser. You're nothing. Hashem hates you. Your mitzvahs are worthless. Your Torah is worthless. What are you pretending to be such a tzaddik? Starts talking Lashon Hara about you. And we see an amazing thing that, you know, the one of the religions that opposes Judaism is the religion of Christianity. We're not going to get into the whole history, how it started, where it started. But what's interesting is that their book that they go by is called the New Testament, Brit HaChadasha. Now, if there's a New Testament, means that there's also an Old Testament. If not, they wouldn't call it a New Testament. They would just call it a Testament. Or they would call it whatever they want. But they decided to name it the New Testament. Meaning that they also agree that there's an Old Testament. Now, what do they say? They say, oh yeah, the Torah is real. And it was given to your prophet, Moshe. And at that time, Hashem actually did care about you, and He actually did love you. And then when they come and they ask you, tell us, why did the first temple was destroyed? So we would answer, because we had three sins. We had idol worship, we had shfichut damim, bloodshed, and we had forbidden relations, gilui arayot. I'll be like, okay. And why was the second temple was destroyed? So we don't lie. So we say, yeah, we had sinat chinam. We hated each other. So their ta'ana, their excuse is that, yeah, in the beginning, you were the chosen people. And in the beginning, the Torah was given to you by your prophet. But then you did so many problems that Hashem gave you the first holy temple. He destroyed it. He didn't like your behavior. Then He gave you the second temple. He destroyed that too. Because He didn't like your behavior. And now Hashem is completely fed up with you. So now He turned to us and He gave us a new testament. Meaning your testament isn't old. Hashem doesn't like you anymore. This is the klipa of Haman. That the klipa of Haman comes and tells you, oh, you failed yesterday. You did a sin last week. You did that sin a month ago. Hashem doesn't like you anymore. To who? To Haman?
No, to someone that came and started talking about that.
That's a whole different thing. Techav, I'll answer you. But the point is to understand this Lashon Hara. You'll see in a second the connection, why I'm telling you that.
Oh, where did they get that?
Excuse me?
Where did they get that?
They have.
Okay, I'm going to get to that in a second. I want to make a connection to what I'm saying. The point is that this clip of Haman is going to come to you and is going to talk Lashon Hara about you. And Lashon Hara is going to say, oh, you know, yesterday you did that, Hashem doesn't care about you. And yesterday you did this, and you know, your mitzvahs are worthless. And then you did this, and then you did that. And constantly this klipa of Haman is going to come and talk Lashon Hara about you. Now, you know, there's a famous saying by Rabbi Nachman that he says, En Yehush Ba'olam. There's a deeper explanation to En Yehush Ba'olam, because a lot of Jews might fall into despair by saying, I did such bad things that Hashem gave up on me. And when Rabbi Nachman says En Yehush Ba'olam, he says, no, it means it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the level of the Kadosh Baruch Hu En Yehush. Doesn't matter how bad you are. Doesn't matter what you're going to do. Hashem doesn't give up on you. This is what the deep meaning of En Yehush Ba'olam, that Hashem never gives up on you. It doesn't matter what you do. The point is that where does this klipa of Haman has the power to talk Lashon Hara about me? Is when I talk Lashon Hara about somebody else. If I talk Lashon Hara about somebody, then I create this gap, what I said before, this charitz, the name of the klipa that the Zohar calls yacharotz, I create this gap. Now this klipa comes and talks lashon hara about me. So first of all, it goes up to Shamayim and he talks lashon hara about me. And he says, look, that person, he just prayed. And now he goes and does this. And this person just gave charity. And now he said that. So the klipa is talking lashon hara about me. It's actually using me, my own acts against me. But then this klipa goes into my mind and it's constantly talking lashon hara to me. How many times do you have it that you do something and you're like, okay, why should I now do this mitzvah? Why should I get up now and pray? Yesterday I did such a bad sin. This is this klipa talking lashon hara about me, telling me you're worthless. Why don't bother? Why are you even bothering to now say Birkat HaMazon? Why are you bothering to pray? Why are you bothering to walk into this room and learn Torah? Why are you bothering? You're worthless. You're such a mean person. You did this. You did that. And this klipa comes into our mind. Why? To talk lashon hara about me. And to put me down. And what would be the result? Then I'm going to be like, you're right. I am worthless. Probably Hashem doesn't like me now. And you're right. I shouldn't wake up now and pray now. Because yesterday I did such an act. And I'm probably worthless in the eyes of Hashem. But the thing is that we all have it. We might not see it in a very clear way, but we all have this klipa that comes into our thoughts, and it's trying to basically pull me away from serving Hashem. By why? By talking lashon hara about myself. That I did this, I did that, I'm lying, I'm cheating, I'm not 100%. How many times do you have this thought that comes and tells you, oh, why are you pretending now to be such a tzadeket? You did this, now you have to do that. Oh, I know. You know, and then we translate it that this is our thoughts and we're, you know, trying to justify certain things that we do. But it's not. It's not our thoughts. It's a klipa controlling our mind, telling you, why are you pretending now? Why are you pretending? Yesterday you said like this and like that. Well, now you're pretending to be such a holy Jew. Stop pretending. This is this klipa. This is the lashon hara, this is the klipa of Haman, comes and talks bad about me. Why? To make me move away from Hashem. Now we talked last week about the coming of Mashiach, and we talked last week about this big war that everybody's talking about, Milchemet Gog u'Magog. It's a very popular topic, this war. And a lot of people think that the war, you know, is nuclear bombs and planes and countries fighting each other. So we said last week that, yeah, it can actually manifest into this. You asked before about the planet. Hashem created many different ways how he can bring the Geula. If he wants to bring the Geula with a planet exploding, he'll bring the Geula like that. Hashem wants to bring the Geula, the redemption, with a war, he'll bring it with... Hashem created all the options. It's just now we choose how we actually bring the redemption. But the reality is that we know, we spoke about it last week, that there will be a big war before Mashiach comes. And this war is called Gog u'Magog. The Zohar actually says that there are going to be three wars. The first war was World War I, the second war was World War II, and now we're in the Gog u'Magog, the third one. But I mentioned last week that Gog u'Magog, the Zohar is talking about, is not nuclear bombs, rather Milchemet Gigim. Milchemet Gigim is a thoughts, war of thoughts, that we all have these thoughts in our mind constantly, and these thoughts are these wars that we're having in our mind. Now, amazingly, to see the connection of this klipa of Haman, last week we read the Megillah. Now, when do we make noise? Every time we say the name Haman, we don't make noise. When do we make noise? When we say Haman ha'agagi. Then everybody starts banging and doing all the noise. What's the agagi? Well, that's his last name. This is Gigim. This is these thoughts. Haman ha'agagi. This is Milchemet Gigim, this Gog u'Magog, this is the klipa of thoughts. That's why every time that we say Haman ha'agagi and we start making noise to distract this thought. No, I don't want this klipa to have control right now. When I get this thought in my mind, I need to distract it somehow. Now, day to day, I'm not going to go with a gragger and start making noise. I'm not going to start screaming like a crazy person in the street when I have this bad thought, but I need some type of a tool to to stop this thought, because this thought will manifest into my brain and will make me have this weird thought about something. More than that, this Haman HaGagi that comes in these thoughts, the war of thoughts, he comes to make me constantly have wars in my mind. And this is this Klipa of Haman. And the Klipa of Haman is the power of Lashon Hara. This is the main problem with Lashon Hara. Yes, it is a bad sin. Yes, the Torah tells us how bad it is to slander a person, to gossip about a person, to give a person a bad name. All this we know. We know this. We don't have to continue that. So okay, we're not perfect. We are going to sell a little Lashon Hara. At least be smart and make sure that you keep Shabbat the right way, that you observe the Shabbat. Why Dafka Shabbat? Is we know... Bless you. Where do we know the hint that Shabbat is the remedy for Lashon Hara? Because in Parashat Shlach, there's a pasuk that says Lech Shem Chadash, which is the acronym, the letters of Shlach, which is the same numerical value of Shabbat. So our sages learn from that to fix the damage of Lashon Hara is by keeping Shabbat. Why? I said before that Hashem created the world with these 10 sefirot that corresponds to His name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem created the world with the last letter of His name, Hey, Malchut Peh. And this is the Hey that creates the world. And we know that Shabbat is Malchut, Shabbat HaMalka. So the only thing that can correct the damage that is done with the mouth is the same Sfira of Malchut. And we know that Shabbos is Malchut. We read before Shabbat comes, Boi Malka, Boi Malka. We know that Shabbos is Malchut. So the only way to correct the damage that is done with my mouth, Malchut Pe, is with Malchut. So we know that Shabbat, that's the remedy to fix it. Part of the things, yeah, I have to observe the Shabbat. I have to make sure that I'm following all the dinim. Besides, the Shabbat has the power to correct all the rest of the sins. But particularly the sin of Lashon Hara, mainly when I actually eat. A lot of people say, I don't feel like we're eating now, I'm not hungry. It's not about if you're hungry or not. It's about the point of sitting around the table. The table is a mizbeach, is a altar. When we sit and we eat, it's like we're literally bringing sacrifices to an altar. For us, it seems like, you know, a meal and we talk and... No, this is a mystical ceremony that while we're sitting around the table, then we literally sacrificing, we're putting sacrifice on the altar. And when I make the entire table special, it's not about just, you know, buying some salads and buying a challah and eating. The more beautiful you make the Shabbat table, the more you get it fixing, you're correcting the problem of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is fixed on the table. I told you before, it says before we say Birkat HaMazon, when we're sealing the deal, we say, Vayedaber Elai Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. This table that I sat on, this is going to be my atonement when it goes up to Hashem for the correction of the sin that I did with my mouth. Our mouth is so powerful that we know that when I say positive things, I actually create worlds. When I say negative things, I destroy worlds. A person with one word can destroy a world. And on the other hand, I can now read a chapter of Tehillim, and we know that every letter from the entire chapter, where every letter of each word creates thousands of angels that go up to the chair of mercy, Tachat Kiseh Rachamim, and they bow down to Hashem and they beg for mercy from Hashem. And they say, that person just created me. Our mouth is so powerful that when one wants to correct the sin of Lashon Hara, because that's where the damage was, they do what's called Ta'anit Dibur, they don't talk. A lot of people do Ta'anit Dibur, fasting. They don't talk the entire Shabbat. It's as powerful as 60,000 fasts. Not to talk the whole Shabbat. I mean, you can bench, you can read the prayers, you can learn Torah, but you can't talk. This is the ultimate way to fixing it. But since the mouth is so powerful, this is where the damage is done with the mouth, and I correct it during Shabbat. And the most powerful time is to correct it with the Suda Revit, with Mlave Malka. But the main point of Lashon Hara is that when I talk Lashon Hara, I actually create this crack in my surrounding, what surrounds my neshama, that I'm able to bring this klipa of Haman to manifest into my mind, and constantly I have these thoughts in my mind. And the thoughts is not necessarily Lashon Hara about myself, like I get before, that you, Chas V'Shalom, you do a certain sin and your thought will come and tell you, oh, why are you pretending to be such a righteous person right now? Yesterday you did this, the day before you did that, here you lie, here you steal, here you don't do this. This war that we have now before Mashiach has come, this is the war of thoughts. This is this Gog U'Magog that we're talking about. Gog U'Magog is Milchemet Gigim, the war of thoughts. And we see that our generation is totally controlled by thoughts. Everything that is surrounding us is injected into our thoughts constantly. The internet and cell phones and everything is like constantly being injected into our mind. All these thoughts constantly. And we constantly have this war of thoughts in our mind. The wars can be if I feel like serving Hashem right now or not. The war in my thoughts can be like if I need to tolerate now another person that is sitting next to me. Constantly our battles are in our thoughts. But the ultimate way to seal, to build these walls, is but just don't say Lashon Hara. You don't say Lashon Hara. Your domain is completely guarded. You don't have these charitz. These charitz is a crack. You don't have these cracks. So this klipa of Haman, Haman HaGagi, cannot penetrate into your mind. So you're not going to have any issue. And we see in our generation, people, besides that they have their internal war, first of all, most people, they have an internal war with has nothing to do with Avodat Hashem, with serving God. They have an internal war with themselves. People get depressed, people get all these anxieties, and it manifests into nightmares at night, fears, all sorts of weird things. All this originates in the thoughts. And the thing that causes all that is mainly Lashon Hara. Netzor Lashonecha Mira. If you, Netzor, the Netzor means to guard. You guard your tongue, there's not going to be any Ra. So our sage says, Netzor Lashonecha Mira. You guard your tongue, you're not going to have anything bad. It will guard anything that's coming in. Any klipa that wants to penetrate into you, and mainly it will control your thoughts, then it's guarded. So the main part of Lashon Hara to take into consideration is, besides the facts, what the Torah tells us that it's bad, rather what it does to me. So if I want to actually fight all these thoughts that I'm having in my mind, so I will be able to serve Hashem in a much better way and to elevate myself to a higher level, then I have to guard my tongue. What goes out comes in. That's it. And a lot of people are very, very particular with what goes into the mouth. Oh, they buy something in the supermarket, they investigate the Heksher. Who was the rabbi? Who did the shechita? They go fanatic about what goes into the mouth. But most people are not, they barely notice what's going out of the mouth. And the cause of all problems is what's coming out of my mouth. If a person will constantly guard his mouth, he's not going to have any issues. The parsha in the Torah, it's parsha Shoftim. Shoftim is judges. And it says, Shoftim v'shotrim tasim b'chol sharecha. You should appoint judges and guards to all your gates. And what are these gates? We have two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and one mouth. If a person guards all these gates, he's not going to have any problem. How do you guard it? You have to appoint judges and policemen. Judges means that you judge if you want to see what you want to see, if you want to say, if you want to hear, you judge the situation, and the policemen are the ones who actually enforce it. But amazingly, we see that all these gates that we have, they all come in pairs. The only one that doesn't have a pair is a mouth. The mouth is the most powerful gate of our body. So if I want to really guard my entire fortress, is I guard my mouth. And that's also not only Lashon Hara, it's lying, you know, cheating with my mouth. The point is that in our day, in our generation, we're all going through some type of an internal war in our mind. Ultimately, we all want to serve Hashem in completion. We want to reach to a much higher level. We want our Avodat Hashem to be in a much greater level. But we constantly have this battle in our mind that is pulling us down. Constantly. And every person has it. There's no one person in the world that doesn't have this battle in their mind. And each one, it comes in a completely different way. The only way to control this war of in our mind, to remove this klipa of Aman that is in such a powerful way in our generation, is only if the motion of going out is, if I guard my mouth, then coming in, there's not going to be any achiza to this klipa. So Bezrat Hashem, we should take the power from Purim that we just celebrated. Purim is a very powerful time. It's a time that we get such a high godly revelation that it comes above what's called Seder Ishtalshelut, the descending chain of godly revelation. That's why Shabbat and Yom Tov, festivals, we can't work, because the light that comes down to the world is from this descending chain. Seder Ishtalshelut. It has a definition. Purim comes above Seder Ishtalshelut, above this descending chain. Therefore, we don't have an issue. Working, not working, has nothing to do with it. Because the Gilui Lekut, the godly revelation, is a much higher level. The point that I'm saying that is because we know that, you know, what we celebrate on Shabbat, it has the power of the week before and the week forward. So we still have the echo of Purim. Besides that, what we should take from Purim with us carries us all the way to Pesach, which is when we really break through to from slavery, spiritual slavery, into spiritual freedom. So we should take the power of Purim and say, okay, what am I taking from this limud, from this learning of Purim, and how am I applying it to my own Avodat Hashem? Because ultimately, we said last week how Mashiach is around the corner. Mashiach doesn't matter right now if it's a planet, doesn't matter, it's all nonsense. This is all ways for Hashem to decide how He wants to bring the Geula. If Hashem wants to bring the Geula with a planet exploding over Earth, He'll do that. He prepared that. If He wants the redemption to come with a war, He prepared everything. The point is that we already know that the redemption is around the corner, and I want to make sure that I'm prepared the most, that my tshuva is 100%, that my level of Avodat Hashem is the highest, that not only that I'm going to be part of the redemption, rather that I'm going to contribute for the redemption to come faster and smoother. And the only way to find it, this is the war of our generation, is the war of thoughts, and the only way to seal it is with my tongue. So the next time that I want to say something juicy, let me think a minute, wait a minute, what am I actually causing? Forget about that I'm causing damage right now to the other person. Because when I say Lashon Hara about a person, I'm actually arousing that power in that person. That's the main problem with Lashon Hara mystically. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. If I now come and say something about another person, doesn't matter right now if it's true or not. I'm arousing this power in that person right now. If I'm going to tell now to a person, oh, you're such a tzaddik, you're such a good person, I'm arousing that power in that person. If I say on a person, that person is such a thief, she's such a whatever, I'm actually arousing that power in her. You go now and you say about a person, she's like this and like that. You have the power to actually, the words are going out of your mouth, into her body, and enlivening this power in that person. So why should I even do it? But more than that, if I want to meditate before something comes out of my mouth, I'm like, wait a minute, what is actually happening now? Forget about that I'm doing damage to that person. Forget about that I'm transgressing one of the worst mitzvot lo ta'aseh in the Torah, of the precepts in the Torah. Forget about this, 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 and this. Chas v'shalom, a person can lose his olam haba, etchiyat emetim, the resurrection of the dead. Why should I be missing the party? But more than that, I'm actually poisoning myself. That's the main problem. You want to look at it, you look at it that I'm poisoning myself. I'm actually turning it around, it turns around completely against me, and this klipa goes and talks Lashon about me. And all these thoughts that I have in my mind, it's a result for myself. Bezrat Hashem, we should take the power of Purim and be able to completely levatel the klipa of Amalek, and from here enjoy the full and complete redemption that should happen very speedy in our days, especially with our acts and powers, and when we control our mouths.